You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I mean, I pulled a jersey, you know. They called holding. I was hoping they would let it ride, you know, but... was holding.
And with that, Philadelphia Eagles cornerback James Bradberry near single-handedly saved a Super Bowl from some controversy. Two things, and they're tied together. Number one, that's a real man right there. That's a man admitting his mistake, looking everybody in the face, and not being ashamed and being accountable. And number two, I'd have never fucking admitted that, ever. I blame the refs, and I take to my grave what I did. I never tell anyone. That's who I am. Seriously, though, as we do more of these shows, we're all getting the sense of how many things, how many dominoes have to actually fall for a moment to be truly great. And James Bradberry helped this Super Bowl be great. He gave the Chiefs their spotlight. He saved the Eagles fans just a little bit of heartbreak. And he came out looking like a mature, non-lying, real man. My hat is off to you, James Bradberry. Today on the show, we got to talk about Carl Lewis. When I was growing up, because social media didn't exist back then, and you couldn't see every athlete's every waking second of their day on camera, Carl Lewis existed somewhere between legend and God. I can't stress this enough. There was a time where Carl Lewis was the fastest person on the planet, and he could also jump longer than anyone. Those two things are very weird to be able to say, but it's true, and it was Carl Lewis. He was a true early superstar celebrity athlete. And then one day, he agreed to sing the national anthem at a New Jersey Nets game. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. This is First Ballot. Welcome to First Ballot, the podcast that celebrates the moments in sports that really matter and inducts them into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. I am your host, Neil, the podcast Jordan Clarkson, the Spotify Sean Dunstan, the iHeartRadio Mark Duper, coming to you live from the Shaquille O'Neal Office Depot, big and tall executive suite desk chair. Today's episode of the First Ballot Hall of Fame podcast could be sponsored by the first bird sound that Birdman makes in his hit song, What Happened to That Boy, off his debut studio album, eponymously titled Birdman. Let's listen to it. What happens? Listen, you want more. I want more. We all do. Why can't there be more rap songs that go incredibly hard and are insanely funny? Birdman did it. Put some respect and whatnot. Carl Lewis's national anthem is without question a great moment in sports. But is it a First Ballot Hall of Famer? We have to decide that today. And here to do it with me is a very special guest that I'm excited to have on the show. He's been a correspondent on The Daily Show since 2015. He was the executive producer of the Emmy-nominated documentary The Neutral Ground on PBS. He's the writer and performer of three hilarious stand-up specials on Comedy Central, Father Figure, No One Loves You, and Imperfect Messenger. He recently co-starred in the delightful Confess Fletch that you really should go and watch right now. And he's the host of the powerfully funny podcast, Roy's Job Fair. It's Roy Wood Jr. Roy, thank you for being on the show. Oh, my gosh. Roy. The Roy.
What's up, brother? Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for doing this. Right out of the chute, let's table set. What is your favorite sport, your favorite team, your favorite athlete of all time? You have to choose one of each of those three. Favorite sport, favorite team, favorite athlete of all time.
Sport is baseball,
which is amazing.
Team is Cubs. Athlete of all time.
Got to pick one.
Knee jerk is Ken Griffey. Bo Jackson, though, probably.
No. Because no Hem and Haw here.
Then Bo Jackson. Give me Bo. Bo's from Birmingham. Birmingham suburb.
Amazing that Ken Griffey Jr. and Bo, the two men you were considering, neither of them played for the Cubs, which is your favorite team.
Griffey was the most fun athlete of that era. Bo was the most talented. I would even only put Bo ahead of Dion if we're choosing two sport athletes, mm-hmm. only because Bo hit for power, Dion didn't.
Right.
Now, granted, they played two different positions on the football field and baseball field, respectively. But if I'm picking, I think Bo Jackson is one of the greatest athletes of our generation, even with the injury and all the woulda, coulda, shouldas and all of that. Up until that point, no one has done that. At that level, at that power, at that for strength. Sure. Of course, Brian Jordan played two sports. Deion Sanders played two sports. Was it Charlie Ward?
Charlie Ward.
Football and basketball.
Yep.
He didn't, not
he
at the same time.
Pro football.
But he was correct. But he could have. He chose to go to the NBA.
Knicks. That's right.
I think Charlie Ward is very unsung, but that's because, you know, because he didn't do both at the same time.
Yes.
He kind of gets second tiered, so I get it.
Who do you think's more entertaining, Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders?
Deion.
Oh, for sure, right?
You can look at the act two of both of them, and it's Deion. Bo Jackson just wants to chill and fish and raise money for hospitals. Have you ever seen Bo Jackson at an event now in Alabama? He just looks like he just came from, skinning a catfish. And meanwhile, Deion Sanders 2 days ago is a picture of him on a private jet heading out on his first recruiting trip for the University of Colorado after back-to-back SWAC championships with Jackson State. So
Deion's a goddamn
I would
blast.
Say Deion's a little more entertaining.
Now, why is baseball your favorite sport? That doesn't make any sense to me. I like baseball too. I want you to know I'm a baseball fan as well, but I don't understand why it's your favorite sport.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. My mom put me in a little bit of Little League growing up. And I just dug it.
Yeah.
So
were you any good?
Doing that. No, I was just okay. even in Little League in elementary and middle school, I was just okay. I was never dominant. Oh, this kid's going to get drafted.
Right.
But I liked it. It was good socializing as well. That was the other thing, is that it created some pretty good social circles too.
Right. As a born and raised Alabamian, is that what they say?
Alabamian, yeah, close enough.
How do you become a Cubs fan?
Regional coverage.
Did they have a superstation? Were the Cubs?
Yeah, WGN. Yeah,
right.
WGN superstation. So TBS had a superstation too, but the Braves came on at night, and I wasn't allowed. Also in those days, it was not uncommon for a house to only have one TV that had all the channels.
Right.
You know? So, shit, man. It became a situation where if I wanted to watch baseball, it had to be during the day.
Right.
And the Cubs are what was on TV. So that's what I watched.
That makes sense.
You can have a favorite team, but you're not going to see them on TV until they play the fucking Cubs.
Right.
So... as well. I think I was a Mets fan for a year in 85, maybe 86. And then I was like, this sucks. They're never on TV. And then next thing you know, I love Andre Dawson.
Andre, the Hawk. What an athlete. When I think about Andre Dawson, I think great name, Andre Dawson. I think great nickname, the Hawk. Great swing, power hitter, the hair, the uniform looked great on him. How much do you think that sort of marketing of this guy, that sort of the package of Andre Dawson, how much do you think that affected how much you as a kid liked him and were drawn to him as an athlete?
It was the Jerry curl for me.
It was so good.
You know, I was like, you know what, man? I like me a good Jerry curled ass. Fucking athlete. It was like the Ice Cube NWA era too. I was like, hell yeah, man. He wasn't my favorite player on the team, though. It was Ryan Sandberg and Sean Dunston. I love the acrobatics of Sean Dunston. Yeah. I mean, most shortstops are acrobatic, but he was just extra with it.
Yes. And
had a cannon for an arm, too.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion on home run chains? I didn't know that they existed in baseball. We did an episode of this show about Miami Notre Dame when the turnover chain was sort of introduced to the world. The turnover chain is in the First Ballot Hall of Fame. I did not know that has moved to baseball. Yeah, I like the turnover chain. I like the audacity. To me, it's college kids. To see a college kid put on this thing to go, I just picked this. Also, Miami, the U, the smoke, the colors, the uniforms, the attitude. I like it there. I did not know it's moved into baseball. Your thoughts?
I don't like the fact that other teams came up with their own little trinkets. Right. That should have stayed with the U. Like, that's gold grill culture. Gaudy jewelry, that's Florida.
The Baltimore Orioles have a home run chain.
I guess. Whatever the fuck makes baseball more watchable, because I know that that's the biggest gripe about it.
Yes.
I would rather have bat flipping, and I like K-struts.
Right.
Like any type of on-field pimping, like pimping behavior, like you pimp, like I like that shit. The chain, I guess. Okay, fine. But it's... I know I'm sounding like an old curmudgeon. Just shut up and play the game the right way. But I will never be against it, but you're not going to...
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. Like, do you care when eventually it's University of Texas El Paso and they're wearing a iced out, whatever the fuck, Gila Monster, whatever their mascot is? I don't know.
The UTEP Gila Monsters. No, you're right. Stay with it.
The Miners. Exactly. Pay Dirt Pete. You're wearing an iced out Pay Dirt Pete. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Super fast on the research there. Roy, you mentioned on-field pimping. That, of course, makes me think of my favorite baseball player of all time, Ricky Henderson. Do you have any thoughts on Ricky Henderson?
No, Ricky's one of the greatest.
I love Ricky.
Ricky, like, popped his collar before starting home run trots.
Decades before that became a thing.
Yeah, like, he would pop his collar before starting his home
run. That's right.
Like, no one's done that since. Like, do you understand? Right. Like, that's such unprecedented levels of arrogance. Then when he broke Lou Brock's stolen base record, this motherfucker gave him the microphone in the middle of a game. And he goes, I can now officially say I am the greatest of all time.
Perfect.
Like, do you know how long he's been thinking about that moment? And those were the words that he was like, yep, that's what the fuck I'm going to say.
He's a god. He's the best.
Bro, I absolutely love it, bro.
You're exactly right. He hits a ball. He's not even out of the batter's box before he's popping his collar. It's the best.
I do think that stealing bases is a lost art.
For sure.
It's not something, you know, baseball is very interesting in that it's also, you know, which is another reason why I love it. It's also one of those sports where if you can do one thing well, we'll find a place for you.
That's right. You have 15-year career based on you doing this one thing really well.
Yeah. Can you just hit? Okay. Can you just run? Okay. Right. Can you just pitch really good for one inning?
That's right.
We don't need nine. Can you just get three guys out every other day? Please. Here's $40 million. Nor the sport is rewarding mediocrity like that.
A great ad here. Roy, let's jump into our moment. I can't wait to do this. To figure out whether the Carl Lewis National Anthem makes the First Ballot Hall of Fame, we must go through our Hall of Fame credentials. Those are the categories by which we judge our moment. Roy, we've not yet played the Carl Lewis National Anthem on the show yet. We haven't played it.
Okay.
I'm so excited. I'm going to want to do this with you. People who don't know it are waiting for it. People that do know it can't wait to hear it again. We're going to watch this together. But first, our first credential, a surprise first credential on this episode, burning questions. I have a couple questions that I need you to answer, and your answer to these questions could swing whether the Carl Lewis National Anthem makes it into the First Ballot Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Roy, when you think of the national anthem, is there a performance you think of? It can be good or bad. You don't have to answer Carl Lewis here. I'm curious, if I say national anthem, the national anthem, thinking about somebody singing the national anthem, what do you think of?
There's two, and they're at opposite ends of the spectrum. Yep. Whitney Houston and Roseanne Barr.
Okay, great.
Those are my two. Like, those are like the best of the best. And the whoa, that was a fucking rush.
Right, right. Do you know? Here's the next burning question. This is gonna turn this podcast on its end. Roy, can you? You don't have to sing it. Can you tell me the words to our national anthem? I'll do it with you. Do you know the words to the national anthem? Can you say them?
Yes.
You can. You're certain.
That I can do. What I almost fumbled was Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh, right. Yes. Your performance. You sang
the
it.
The Cubs. Yeah. I sang in the stretch. I got it, but it was like, there's always like one word. And it's crazy because I can go on stage and remember an hour of comedy.
Right.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I was like, is it? I don't care if I ever get back. I don't care if I never get back. Oh, shit. Is it ever or never? Ever or never? Fuck me. The word is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Like, and I'm like singing while thinking, right. Is it never or ever? Never. And then you just slur it Harry Carey style. And I don't care if I get back. Like, perfect. Nicely done, you bitch. I can't believe you didn't rehearse.
How much are you preparing to sing that? Like, are you singing it that morning? What do you do to prepare?
Zero. No. I've watched baseball my whole life. If I don't know the song, I deserve the embarrassment that follows. Now, singing, throwing out the first pitch is much tougher than singing the anthem.
I was going to bring this up. So I, much tougher. In doing research for the show, I started just poking around about Carl Lewis. We're going to get to this national anthem here in a second. Carl Lewis in 2003 threw out a first pitch in a Mariners game. Roy, it is sincerely atrocious. I don't know if the ball goes 10 feet. He really lets go late, mm-hmm. and it goes down. It hits the ground in front of him within 10 feet and barely rolls to the catcher. And he does the Carl Lewis thing, which we're going to talk about. He goes, throw it back. I want another try. Give me another try. It's like, mortifying to watch.
That's not how the game goes.
I happen to then Google, type in Roy Wood Jr. just on a flyer. Roy Wood Jr. first pitch. I know that you've thrown a couple, but you had one that I'd love to talk about. Are you prepared to talk about your first pitch?
Yeah, because that's the only one that you motherfuckers want to show is the one that I bounced. I bounced one after two successful air mails straight to the fucking mitt, but we don't discuss those. So come on, let's bring up the one bad one.
So wait, is the bad one the third one you threw?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't feel good about that. You threw two good ones and the third one you choke.
Here's the conspiracy about the first pitch that your listeners don't know. Here's some insider sports information, you motherfuckers. They don't let you warm up. You don't get to warm up. You just come in cold turkey and you gotta throw it 60 feet.
Now, is that like a reality show doing interviews at like 4 in the morning? They want you to butcher that?
Not even a Cy Young award winning pitcher makes his first pitch of the day from 60 feet. Not Nolan Ryan, not Greg Maddux, not Smoltz, none of the greats, bro. But me, regular fucking comedian who just had two hot dogs. Hey, you. Unathletic person who is not stretched. What did you say? You trot out there in front of 50,000 and give it a shot. It's like a carnival challenge. We're trying to get the little stupid ball in the hole. It was pretty embarrassing, bro. It was pretty properly embarrassing, I must say.
You really threw your head back. You seemed like you were in a little bit of pain, a little bit of embarrassment. You were thrown to a mascot, which is tough.
Yeah, the mascot has an oversized mitt because he knows you the can't throw worth a damn.
It's so much bigger than a normal mitt, and you couldn't hit any part of that oversized mitt.
I listen, man. I tried my best, and it just didn't happen that day. And that's the worst one because that was one in front of my boy. My boy was there. Like,
oh my god,
embarrassed myself in front of my son.
You have to indoctrinate him. You have to play him clips of the successful ones just over and over so he never remembers you bouncing one.
He won't believe it.
Thank God.
He won't believe it. Oh. Nah, Dad, I remember. I was there. Because he's like, he was six when that happened. So that's your first grade. Yeah, you remember shit in the first grade.
For sure. Particularly when your dad really boots it in front of a national audience.
Yeah, he's got memories.
Roy, when I think first pitches, my first pitch story is I wrote on Norm MacDonald's sports show on Comedy Central. And we were talking about ways to promote the show. And he was talking about throwing out a first pitch at a game. And I remember him saying, pitching to the room, what if I go throw out the first pitch? And, I get down and I, hold the ball in my mitt and I sort of get down and act like I'm looking at the catcher. And then I sort of get back to my stance and then I throw over to first. And because there's no first baseman over there, the ball would just go sailing into the dugout.
That's fucking hilarious. And you would never be asked back. It would be like they say, grand opening, grand closing. Like that would be the end of you.
That was such a funny idea. I was praying that he got the opportunity to do it. Never came about, but a great Norm story.
But that's such a Norm MacDonald move,
yes.
though.
Yes.
To go out and throw a first pitch and then he throws a pick. Ceremonial first pickoff move.
Such a good idea. All right, Roy, it's time to get into our next credential. The next credential, I'm going to combine them. It's the eye test and the ear test. What did you see in this moment? What did you hear in this moment? We're going to watch this together. For everyone that doesn't know it, you're going to listen to it with us right now. If you haven't seen it, if you want to see the video, go to our Instagram at FirstBallotHOF. The video is worth it. All right, we're going to watch this together. Roy, if you want to stop the video, if you want me to stop the video, just raise your hand. I'm going to be stopping the video.
Yes, I ride. You stop it, but I'm just going to let it ride and enjoy it. I just remember all the players chuckling and giggling. That's the thing I remember the most about this. Like, he bombed at the anthem. All you have to do is know the words.
Oh, my God. I don't know why they don't let you take out the words. Like, why don't you just have them on you? Or put them on the screen so everybody can sing along, and then the person can always just look up and find their spot. Listen, I've got thoughts.
I feel like the national anthem is also something that should just be sung terribly anyway, just to match the state of affairs in this country. Like, sing it, but it doesn't have to be perfect, and no one's getting record deals off the anthem. There's no... God bless these people who take it serious and they come out there and this is my big shot. Yeah, is it? I don't know.
We are going to listen to the full version of Carl Lewis's national anthem. A lot of people probably remember the Sports Center segment on it. I certainly do. We'll get to that later. But here we go. The full version, Carl Lewis, New Jersey Nets pregame performance. Here we go.
Are we ready? It's always good to be back in Jersey. How about them Nets? Wait a minute, I didn't hear any booze here. All right, are we
like what? Right out of the gate, Roy, what is he doing? He's like, he's just vamping. He's like talking right out of the chute.
He's buying time. That's what comics do when they don't, when they know they're going to bomb. You give it up for the ladies. Give it up for your sales. Give it up for this nice venue. It's all of that shit. Give it up for the Nets. Motherfucker, we're here to cheer for him. We've been giving it up for him for this whole season. I don't need you reminding me.
Here we go.
Y'all ready? Here we go.
It's okay so far. This is like you're not sure if someone can sing or not, but you just want to keep checking. You need a little more. Need a little more evidence here.
Yeah, you're not certain it's bad just yet. I'm clear. I'm definitely listening. My ears are perked up because of the way this has started and this first note, but you're not certain just yet.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
It's like, okay, this is a guy who someone lied and told he could sing, but he can't sing, but it's not terrible. But then he just fucking goes off a cliff.
I can't get over the fact that I think the spectacle here is that this is Carl Lewis, who is truly a legend of sport.
It's fucked up because he is like 4-time gold medalist or some shit.
Yes.
But this is what we remember him for. Like, you can ruin your legacy.
Oh my God.
By one wrong thing. And it's like, God damn, Carl. This might not even be his first page of his Google results. Like, you have gold medals, but this is on the first page of your Google. It's very unfortunate.
And I now have you contributing to that. I'm so sorry, Roy. Here we go. We'll keep listening.
Proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. For the rampart we watched, we're so gallant.
We're so gallant. Like, are you just reading? Did they not the apostrophe in the wrong place, bro?
Yeah, it's like
we're so gallant.
I wonder if somebody like wrote the lyrics down for him and he was looking at it in the car and they like wrote down we're instead of were. It's a tragic that, because like a little slip up like that, like you were talking about during Take Me Out to the Ball Game, just a tiny little slip up can send the whole thing just sliding down a hill.
Yeah, and here it comes.
Please streaming and the rockets red flag. Uh-oh.
To this day, I don't know if that was him saying uh-oh or the announcers. Like, and it's so scripted. Like, the anthem, for the people who like can't see this, like, generally speaking, when they're producing the anthem, there's certain parts of the song where they want to show the flag.
Right.
Yes. The director's in the truck.
Right.
Camera 2, take the flag, slow pan. So you want to see the flag all majestic. And you see, like, as he's going, it's a shot of the American flag. And it's just like, oh, it makes the flag look sadder.
He's
so terrible.
Carl Lewis, I feel like you're right. Up until that moment, he was not a great singer, but not terrible. And he's certainly Carl Lewis, which is enough for a pregame, regular season game, national anthem. Like, who gives a shit? This correct. Is fine. He makes the weir. He starts sliding. He butchers this note. And then
this is when he's off the rails. When he goes rockets regular.
It's the same thing as that first pitch, and the first pitch will be on our Instagram as well. The first pitch, and he's like, no, bring it back. His inability to do something wrong in front of others and just go with it. Like, just improve from this point. He has to like readdress what just happened. I want you to know that I know that that was a bad note.
Gotta own it.
Uh-oh. The monster singing.
And you can hear the crowd murmuring and shit. Yes. Keep going.
The murmur, that low murmur just rolling through the audience.
The flag was still there.
Oof, God.
I'll make up for it now.
Oh my God. He admitted. You never admit that you're bombing.
Never.
That's like the first rule. It's not me, it's y'all. Like, that's
so funny.
That's the number one rule as a performer. You just go, hey, I'm doing great. It's not my fault that y'all don't get me and don't understand my humor. The problem is you.
Oh my God. Here we go. Oh,
Carl.
Oh, say does that star spangled banner get way.
He did not make up for it. Carl.
By the way, great suit, Carl Lewis. I just want to mention the suit. It's like red and yellow. It's like McDonald's colors. It's kind of great.
Yeah, it's very much McDonald's charity event, like the regional. Like, it's the suit of a guy who owns 7 McDonald's. And get dressed up. It's the big Christmas party. But for whatever reason, he still wants to be McDonald-y when he shows up to...
For the land of the free.
Oh, my God. I feel like that was a change. Yeah. That was like a conscious change. He was like, I'm going to nail this. And then halfway through, he's like, I can't do it. And he just sort of like
petered out. Land of the free.
The murmur is at an all-time high. It's just a wave of murmur at this point.
And the free.
And the home of the...
Why are you dragging it out? Just sing it. It's like you've bombed. Why are you trying to save it?
I do give him credit for that. The audacity to drag out the end of this when you know it's in the tank. Wrap it up. The lights on. Wrap it up.
And now I'm going to hold a note like we're approving of you. Players are covering their face. Like they are in another world at this point. Like they're not clapping because you did a good job. It's like, but I'm going to still hit the note. I'm going to still do the one part that I know I can nail. Like, no, Carl, you bombed. And it's okay.
I really love him trying to land that plane. And you're absolutely right. Derek Coleman of the Nets covering his face, lots of chuckling. Even Drazen Petrovic here in the frame laughing. Drazen Petrovic, not from America, not born here. I mean, his judgment of the national anthem is as searing as a foreigner. A lot of fun to watch this, the Nets react. Oh,
how painful, bro. Doesn't even speak English as a first language, and you can tell this shit sucks.
I pay a lot of money to know how Michael Jordan reacted, because the one time they show Jordan during this anthem, he dialed in. Guys dialed in.
Yeah, I think Jordan's like thinking about how many fucking points he's going to put up and which strip club they're going to, and how much, who owes me money gambling tonight? I got to make my money back from last night. Motherfucking Horace Grant fucking won $800 off of me. I had to give my money back from Horace. Just a warrior's mindset. Like nothing, you know, certain people are just like you can't do anything to fucking fade certain people.
Michael Jordan. Goddamn. The next credential here is our analytics. The people love numbers, Roy. We're going to go through the numbers of this. They're mostly about Carl Lewis. Carl Lewis, part of 5 American Olympic teams, the most for an American male, winning 9 gold medals and 1 silver medal. In 84 and 88, he was the fastest human on the planet, winning the 100-meter dash in both Olympic Games.
Come on.
The goddamn fastest human on the planet. And now I'm making fun of the fact that he sang a song incorrectly?
And he's not supposed to be able to sing it correctly. I'm sorry, I was out doing sprints when you all were doing your vocal shit. Why would you even book me? That's on the person for the Nets. Who booked him? You know, somebody's got to answer to this shit. Like, there has to be a meeting. You know, like in a drug movie, after the police come and raid the drug compound, the drug dealer's having a meeting with who didn't get arrested. Yeah. How the fuck did this happen? Fucking New Jack City after they raided the Carter.
That's right.
How did the motherfucking police get in my motherfucking operation? Who let Carl Lewis in the... Was it you, Jimmy? Huh? Are we going to get some answers tonight, baby? Are we going to get some motherfucking answers? Like, it's that shit.
I love Carl Lewis's Nino Brown. That's a lot of fun to think about too.
He's dressed like Nino Brown.
He really is. He really is. It's
exactly the type of shit Nino would wear.
Carl Lewis has 10 world championship medals. 8 of those are gold. The Americans men's 4x100 relay team never lost a race while Carl Lewis was a part of the team. Carl Lewis won the long jump at 4 consecutive Olympics. The 84 in Los Angeles, 88 in Seoul, 92 in Barcelona, 96 in Atlanta. That's what? 12 years of winning being 16. The best long jumper? 16, oh,
yeah,
yes. 12.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's insane to think about. 3 Pan American medals, 2 of them gold. 5 Goodwill Games, 3 of them gold. Named Athlete of the Year by Track and Field News, 82, 83, 84. Named Sportsman of the Century by the International Olympic Committee. And Olympian of the Century by Sports Illustrated. And that was when Sports Illustrated really, really meant something.
And named can't sing for shit.
World Athlete of the Century by the International Association of Athletics Federations. Just amazing.
Can't sing. We don't give a fuck. That's America. But also, can you sing? It's like Jamie Foxx was a brilliant comedian, and one of the best stand-ups, and then just like, oh, shit, he can sing too? Here's your Oscar. And like, oh, you do piano? Like, you have to, like, make music somehow. Yes. That's all America cares about. Like, Shaquille O'Neal has all of these rings, and I still love him the most for a fucking Shaq Diesel rap album.
I got Skills Man as a great song. I know that.
I will love Shaq more as a rapper than I ever will as a basketball player, because that's just because, oh, he can rap too. Okay, nah, I really like him.
Speaking of Carl Lewis as a singer, did you know that he was also a recording artist, that he recorded 2 albums? Did you remember that, Roy?
No, I did not.
Carl Lewis and the Electric Storm released an album in Japan in 1985. And after what I have to presume was a nasty breakup with the Electric Storm, Carl Lewis released the album Modern Man in the States, which included the hit song Lovers Don't Talk. Let's listen to that together.
Lovers don't talk. Lovers don't talk.
You get the idea.
I love that you don't, that legally you can't play more than that, but like legally that's all we needed to hear.
That's right.
It's just the right amount.
Carl Lewis's biggest hit may have been Break It Up. Let's listen to that.
Let us join the whole wide world, make a human change, and never
climbed the charts in Belgium, getting as high as number 24. In Sweden, Break It Up, the number 3 song in Sweden.
Break It Up?
Yes. Do you believe that?
Okay. I mean, I don't. Is this like some David Hasselhoff shit? Where
yes,
it's just
like, so. That's right.
Oh, wait, the foreigners dig this. Like, I'm huge in Korea.
Right.
It's like, really? Are you? Good for you, I guess.
The Bulls did go on to win that game 107-94. Classic Bulls game. Jordan had 30 on 50% from the field. Pippen had 18. Horace Grant, 15. B.J. Armstrong, 18 in 26 minutes. Drazen Petrovic had 20. Kenny Anderson, Derek Coleman both had 22. Same old for the Nets, though, this night. Not enough Rumeil Robinson, who was 2 for 2 in the game. The next credential, Roy, you mad. Rob, play my camera on clip here.
You mad.
Thank you so much. Did this moment make anyone mad? I submit that it did, and the person that got mad, Carl Lewis. Let's hear what Carl told the producers of Oprah's Where Are They Now segment.
What happened is I went to an inauguration event, and so I was actually under the weather and did not want to do it because I said, I shouldn't do it, but then you can't back out. So I shouldn't have sang that day.
He shouldn't have sang that day, Roy. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Shouldn't have sang in life or just that day?
I'm actually glad it happened because it's a part of your journey. And some other people are going to say, ha, 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 you know, isn't that funny? And I said, well, you know, if that's how you want to define me, that's your business. I've been on interviews and they'll say, oh, they'll just laugh it up. And I'll say, isn't it funny? My anthem 25 years ago has been seen by more people than your show. Okay.
Oh, shit. Carl Lewis is not amused. He is not here to fuck around. God damn, Carl. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean to hurt you. Hey, this motherfucker's going for the jugular on y'all.
30 years later, absolutely no sense of humor about that. What I love about that is, to me, as I hear him say that, all I can think of is the fact that he was almost certainly on someone's talk show. That person totally Pearl Harbored him and asked him questions about this national anthem. He was sick the rest of the day. He goes to sleep at night thinking about how, oh, what should I have said in this moment? He comes up with a line and he internalizes it forever. And now anyone that brings that up, he's going to throw that right in your face the second you bring it up, including this podcast. If he hears this podcast, he's going to come back and be like, you know how many people have listened to my national anthem versus your little podcast?
And you can pull the numbers and actually go bar for bar. Look, man, I'm not here to shit on the man. It was an off day. If he said it's weather, you know, it's definitely should have said no. Maybe this is a lesson in saying no. Maybe that's what we learned from this. Take this much. I'm not finna not put Carlos in the Hall of Fame on this. I'm gonna tell you that much. You know, I don't know which way you was voting, but I'm putting the motherfucking Hall of Fame because I don't want Carl Lewis showing up in my house. And I can't, you can't outrun him. Even if he is slower, like I can't. Right. Like Carl Lewis is slow, is still my die of a heart attack pace.
Roy, we worked together once before. I directed you in an animated comedy digital series for Nike. You voiced DeMarcus Cousins. You're from Alabama. Boogie's from Alabama. Shortly after you voiced DeMarcus Cousins, he suffered a few season-ending injuries, and his career has never been the same. What do you know about the Roy Wood Jr. curse?
I don't know about any of that because as far as I know, he made a lot of guaranteed contract money in spite of those injuries. I saw him once actually after that Nike stuff, and he remembered it, man. He's a really solid dude, man.
Yeah, he is.
And
a still good guy.
Does a lot of dope shit for people in Alabama. So
that's amazing.
I got nothing but love for Boogie. Carl Lewis, not so much. You know, I love you, Carl, but that song was a little off key, but we still gonna put you in this Hall of Fame, right? Quick play. I'm going to vote for Carl to be in the Hall of Fame on this one, but barely, but in there.
Roy, when you came in to record with us, I have a producer named George. He's the best producer I've ever worked with. He's incredibly smart, very funny. You record with us. You do everything we ask you to do. You do more. I think we even asked you to ad-lib lines. You just started, which is terrible. We're asking you to essentially write for us. You ended up ad-libbing a bunch of stuff. You recorded for a long while. You did multiple takes of everything. You end up leaving. George looks me dead in the face and go, that guy's a pro. And you are. You are a professional. And I feel like anyone that knows you is nodding their head as they're listening to this. And if you don't know, please know this guy is a professional. You show up, you're a goddamn pro. You get the job, you show up on time, you nail the fucker.
Thank you.
You leave the network out, you leave and you network with people afterwards. What do you attribute that professionalism to? Where did you pick that up?
I'm just grateful to be working, man. Mm. You know, I'm not. The advantage to being a road comedian when you start out is that you see all the different ways your career could end. There are more bad ways than good. So be kind, work hard, and do your drugs off the clock. And you'll probably be okay. Like if you follow those three tenements, you're 90% of the way home.
Yeah.
The rest is just talent and connections, which you could build by being kind and working hard and not doing drugs on the clock.
I'm so excited for the future for you. I feel like you're going to have a big year next year. I can't wait for it, Roy. The next credential is our test of time. That's when we compare this performance against other performances like it. You mentioned Roseanne. Let's listen to Roseanne here for a second. Infamously bad. Which one's worse? Is it Roseanne? Is it called? Which one's worse? Which one's more memorable? Because how many Hall of Fame how many national anthem performances am I going to put into the First Ballot Hall of Fame? I think it's only one. So which, what's the worst here?
Carl's is worse because he was trying.
Right. Yes. Great point.
It's, and you have to look at Roseanne through 90s glasses. I'm not going to, you can't color this with the Roseanne of present who's pissed people off here and there with a lot of her opinions politically. That's not, we can't judge it. We're judging strictly from the performance.
Right.
Roseanne was always a lightning rod. And then also remember, she was with Tom Arnold. Tom Arnold was on the field. They got rushed off the field. That's like people were about to throw shit at him. So they were like the chaos couple.
Right.
So that made sense that she would do that.
Right.
She didn't come out and go, Roseanne came out guns blazing and sang the song. The fastest anthem time. You want to talk about speeding up baseball. Then she gave double middle fingers to the crowd. And this is San Diego. This is a, she got people in San Diego to boo. Like San Diego is such a chill fucking place. And they were openly booing. Like they were booing like it's Boston boos.
Do you remember Do you remember R. Kelly singing the national anthem at the Bernard Hopkins Jermaine Taylor fight?
No, but I bet you it was beautiful.
It was. I'm not going to play it for obvious reasons, but
she was criminalistically beautiful.
I do want to mention that he had dancers. He had two pairs, one man, one woman, four people total. And they were clearly doing a choreographed like dance to his version of the national anthem.
Mad, the Star Spangled Banner with praise dancers.
It was really, it's something to consider here in our list. I want to play another one for you. This is what I refer to as The Fall. I'm curious if you've seen it. Let's watch together. Right now, the singer, she's at a hockey game. She's leaving. She walks off the rink. She's walking through the players. She's going into the back. She grabs lyrics, which I appreciate. She's now here. She is. She's coming back out onto the rink.
That's what you know. They asked her before the match, before she sang, "Do you want the lyrics?"
For sure.
And she comes back out to sing again and then slips and busts her ass and falls. That's God saying, that's the forefathers saying, don't even bother. Yeah.
She gets back up after falling. The players are helping her up. And she just leaves the rink. And the national anthem, to my knowledge, Roy, is never performed to completion during this sporting event.
I respect it.
Just get out of there.
And you know what? And you know what? Everything was fine in spite of
that's
it.
That's right. That's right.
You don't have to sing a song before every game. We know we love America. We're reminded every April during tax time. We know how great of a country this is. It's not needed. But hey.
Here's another. It's my personal favorite. It's a, I don't know who it is. It's a white guy singing at a horse racing thing. My guess is his name is Steve. He looks like a Steve. Let's watch it.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars were
give it a
so
second,
gallantly
Roy. Give it a second.
There, as the rockets were there, and the twilight's
last
gleaming, and the rockets' red glare were so gallantly
his voice is cracking because he knows he fucked up.
Stripes were all there, and the rockets were there.
How many times are we talking about the rockets, motherfucker? We know the rockets were there.
All of those things were there.
If I could say it, rockets 8 different ways. Tell them about the rockets. All right, remind them one more time about the rockets.
One more time.
I hit them one more game about the rockets.
That's a blast. God bless it. I can't believe anyone could watch that performance and not just have a goddamn blast listening to that. The last one to consider is a real contender here, Fergie, of course, during the All-Star game. Let's watch that.
Oh, say, can you see
a sexy national anthem. Roy, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You got to. Everybody should get the chance to see Roy's face as he's
saying. Yeah, it's. I mean, but it's Fergie, though. You know,
a sexy national anthem is a real swing. Like, I part of me is like, listen, she made an attempt. She tried something.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than mailing it in. I
yes,
mean,
for sure.
Also, it's Fergie, so you're gonna let her try that.
Let's listen to the end of her rendition. The home
of the Havla.
Let's play some basketball. Come on. Come on, Roy.
You can't sex it up and then go, yeah, play ball. I'm sorry. Can't do that. No, that was fine. That was good.
Oh, my God. The next credential is our X Factor. Roy, is there? Everybody knows what an X Factor is. Is there an X Factor to Carl Lewis that makes his performance more entertaining, funnier, worse? What is the X Factor in this performance?
That he got dressed for it.
Yeah, it's that goddamn suit. He looks great.
You know, he's got on his Nino Brown suit. And it's just...
Also, I wanted to pitch you something. Also, playing for the Nets during this game, Chris Dudley. Do you remember Chris Dudley, the basketball player?
Yes, yes.
Big old white guy. We inducted the moment Shaq dunked on Chris Dudley and shoved him out of bounds to the First Ballot Hall of Fame. The reason I'm bringing up Chris Dudley here is because Chris Dudley has a wife. He's married. He's married to a woman, and her name is also Chris Dudley. So Chris Dudley is married to Chris Dudley, and I'm not saying like K-R-I-S. It's spelled the exact same way. Chris Dudley is married to Chris Dudley. I find that to be absolutely outrageous, and I'll bring it up literally every chance I get.
I did not know that.
Chris Dudley, married to Chris Dudley. Can you think of a better married couple than Chris Dudley and Chris Dudley?
No, I can't.
It's fantastic.
I can't. I got nothing.
The next credential is Twitter fingers. That's are there any great tweets about this moment? This is a long goddamn time ago. 2003, I think it's this game is from. No tweets back then, so we're just going to go to Roy's Twitter feed. Roy, you tweeted. This country
was 03?
Isn't it? Am I wrong? Or maybe it's 93?
Derek what was Coleman, it's got to be 93. You're talking
Wait. Yeah, you're right.
You're talking Jordan. No, that's not 03 Jordan, not on the Bulls. He was Wizards by 99, 2000.
Exactly right. It's 1993. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I was about to say sorry. Derek Coleman, Kenny Anderson. I remember Kenny Anderson for the Hornets and Kendall Gill.
Kendall Gill, I love it.
There was barely America Online in 93. Like, this might have been discussed in an AOL chat room.
We're going to go to your Twitter feed for one of the great Roy Wood tweets. You wrote, this country went to shit. When sitcoms stopped having theme songs, them little jingles was a 90-second antidepressant. I couldn't agree with you more. Do you have a favorite sitcom theme song?
Theme song? WKRP in Cincinnati.
Wow.
It's a sad fucking song.
It is.
Maybe it was Instagram. I did a thread about it, but it's a sad song, bro. This motherfucker. Baby, if you wonder whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Got tired and tired of packing and unpacking, town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me were never meant to be, but maybe you think of me once in a while.
God damn.
At WKRP in Cincinnati. Damn. What a fucking sad fucking city. This is what this guy thinks of your city. He's just... Fuck it. What is my old chick up to? I'm fucking miserable. But anyway, I'm going to make my life worthwhile.
My life is so miserable in this one horse town that I got to go back to this lady that I hate.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking chaos. Fucking chaos.
Something about let me tell you, when that song is sung, you can sort of miss the point of it. But hearing your sort of reading of that, it is, my God, it's depressing, that song.
That's to memory. I'll never forget that song. Like, it's just, that's just a song that I fucking love, but it's also beautifully sad, which is stand-up comedy. Like, yeah. It's just a perfect fucking... Maybe you and me were never meant to be, maybe you think of me once in a while.
Yeah, it's so thoughtful. That's
cold
what makes
shit,
it, yeah,
bro.
It makes it so sad. He's so clearly really thinking about it all. God damn.
I know this will never work, but shit. Do you at least think of me, motherfucker? Do you, huh? Do you touch yourself to me now and then? Tell the truth.
Now, come on.
Oh, come on, baby.
I want you to sing the extended version of this theme song.
You know how many fucking cities I done fucking been to?
Roy, I see the clock is running down on us. It's almost time for America's favorite podcast segment, More Important. Roy, do you know anything about More Important? You can be honest.
No, I do not.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't. That makes perfect sense. Roy, all you need to know is that people love this segment. Is it the best podcast segment ever? I don't know. I just know it's in the running. Roy, are you ready for More Important?
Yes, I am. I'm ready.
Roy, you are a comedian and political satirist, but the landscape is changing. Lots of comedians are finding it difficult to be funny in an environment under the microscope. What are your opinions on the changing language of our time, what's acceptable, and what seems to be the inability of some of your comedy brethren to stay funny?
I think the important thing, James.
Oh, Roy, I'm so sorry. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for your answer to that question, because it's time for something more important. Roy, the music is playing. There's a timer counting us down. Not really, but just go with it. Okay. Roy, I'm about to ask you some questions that are more important than anything we've talked about up until now. And your answer to these questions will define who you are as a person. Are you ready for More Important?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Don't forget, there's a timer and the guitar music and everything's going. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
What is your favorite beverage? A lot of people fucked this question up right out of the gate, Roy. No one's answered it correctly yet. What is your favorite beverage?
Cream soda is probably the one that I'm... Yeah. I don't have it often, but, you know, that one takes me away.
Stop chill, the please. Music. That is one hell of an answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Is there a kind? Is there a brand of cream soda that you like most?
Barks, but that's the hardest to find. A&W's okay, but Barks has the best.
That's the best answer, Family Dollar
in a small city.
Roy, do you know how many goddamn cowards have just said water when I asked that question? Goddamn cowards. Makes me angry. All right, Rob, turn the music back on. Here we go. Roy, you worked at Golden Corral. What is your favorite chain restaurant? What's your personal favorite chain restaurant? And what is the best overall chain restaurant? They can be the same, but you're allowed to say this is the best, and also I just have a special place for my heart for this particular chain.
TGI Fridays and McDonald's.
Wait, which is which?
Oh, McDonald's is the best.
Yes.
My personal favorite is probably TGI Fridays.
That's wild, yeah. wild. Why best do you say TGI Fridays?
Best honey mustard in the game. There's something about it. The mayo to mustard ratio, the light little bits of pepper. At some point, bro, like I might go and get some chicken fingers from there tonight, as a matter of fact.
I really appreciate the specificity there. What is the best sports branding? The full package, Roy. Logo, colors, jersey, any sport. What's the best branding you can think of for a professional sports franchise? There is a right answer here.
Seattle Seahawks home navy jerseys with the neon green.
Wow.
And when they go Thursday night color rush with the navy on navy.
Yes.
Sometimes they go neon on neon, and I don't mind that either.
Yep.
I think neon's an atrocious color, but somehow the Seahawks have pulled it off.
Yes. That's a great point. The ability to pull off that neon within your color scheme and to make it work. Also, they had great classic uniforms, and they changed, and their redesign was also great. This is a great answer. It's not the right answer. The right answer is your Miami Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, unless they're wearing the orange on orange, which I'm not crazy about.
Yeah, I don't like that. I'm talking classic, like, Clayton Duper, Marino, that goddamn dolphin with the helmet. I've done this on the show before. I cannot get over there being just, like, a regular dolphin wearing a helmet. The colors are so gorgeous. They feel like Miami. That's the right answer, so I'm not going to give you points for that one, but I do Fair appreciate enough. The Seahawks. Roy, you're a comedian. We're talking sports. Who is the funniest athlete ever?
Marshawn Lynch.
Yes.
Maybe.
My guy.
Accidentally, purposefully, Shaq.
Yeah.
Like, Marshawn's not trying. Marshawn's just being regular. Yes. He's just being himself.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Marshawn is.
That would be my pick.
Marshawn is just prodigiously funny. Shaq is great. Shaq is, you know, put his name on this desk chair that I'm sitting in. It's huge. Are you a little jealous of my desk chair? It's quite large. It's like a bucket seat. It's like a goddamn Lamborghini bucket seat. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Roy, what is your favorite comedy movie?
Sports comedy, Major League.
No, comedy. Just any comedy. Favorite comedy movie, you have to say one.
Naked Gun, the first one.
Wow.
Even with OJ in it, still stands up.
Who do you believe is the best television chef?
I don't know.
I'm gonna let you sit here.
I don't know, but like three chefs. Who the fuck knows chefs?
Who do you know? Who sticks out?
Padma Lakshmi.
There you go. There you go.
With the taste or whatever show she's doing now on Food Network or Travel Channel. She's always doing
that's
shit.
That's a fine answer. You did great. You did great, and more important, Roy, how do you feel?
I feel fine.
Roy, the next credentials are co-signed. The question and the floor is yours. And the question is, does Carl Lewis's rendition of the national anthem played before the 1993 Bulls-Nets game belong in the First Ballot Hall of Fame, and why?
Yes, because he tried. And at the end of the day, if you try, that is the ultimate measure by which we have to measure a sportsman.
Right.
He tried. And sometimes in failing, there is still legend. Yes. You can ask the Tennessee Titans against the Rams.
Yes.
You can ask Scott Norwood.
There you go.
Bill's kicker against the Giants. Wide right. In failure, there's still greatness, and it's okay.
It's okay to fail. That's what this show and this episode are teaching you all right now. It's okay to fail. It's okay, Carl, that you butchered this and you tried to get it back and then couldn't land the plane. It's okay that you threw the ball for an opening pitch and it bounced about 8 feet in front of you. All of that stuff is fine. It's time for the induction speech. That's when I, Neil, get to decide whether this thing goes in. I'm gonna take everything that Roy has said into account, but ultimately this is my decision. I'm the progenitor, the decider of the First Ballot Hall of Fame. Here we go. This podcast episode is pure propaganda. We're recording this with a wildly talented Roy Wood Jr. because it is my sincere hope that all of you listening, every time you think of the national anthem, I want you thinking of Carl Lewis absolutely butchering this song. You have just listened to us yammer on. It's about an hour recording now. We've been talking about this and other things for about an hour. I hope you never forget this goddamn performance. Is this thing in the First Ballot Hall of Fame? You fucking bet it is, champ. Congrats to Roy Wood Jr., Carl Lewis, Francis Scott Key, and the country of America. This performance of the national anthem will hang on the walls of the First Ballot Hall of Fame forever. Congratulations, Roy. Thank you so much for being
here. Well, thank you, brother. Man, it's all love, man.
How can people follow you? What can you plug? What are you working on?
I got shit to plug. Watch The Daily Show. Put an at symbol in front of me and find me on social media.
Roy is the best. You are an absolute professional, and you're painfully funny. Thank you so much for doing the show, Roy.
Hey, all good.
Thank you so much. That's it. That's the show. My thanks to America's uncle, the great Roy Wood Jr. Next in line for a late night show of his own. I feel that. Thanks again, Roy. I appreciate you. Thanks to Jessica Tseng for producing this show. Thanks to Robbie Bobby Arucci for editing. Thanks to Rhythm J for the beats. Thanks to Jorge Naranjo for the guitar shredding. My shout out today goes to @AllIconicSports on Twitter. I asked for some help one night. He was there, Johnny on the spot. I appreciate him listening to the show. Thank you, sir. I hope you'll all consider rating and reviewing us. It would help a lot. And please come back next week for more First Ballot.
Uh-oh.